John chapter 16, verse 8. Look back at, just to kind of, just review just a snitch before we get into verse 8, because it kind of carries over. Verse 6, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. The whole context that I'm picking up here with John, in John, is that Jesus is telling his disciples, his apostles as such, that they're heading into tribulation, and not tribulation, but persecution. And we recognize that in Acts chapter 1 through 8, especially Acts chapter 5, the apostles really are persecuted. I mean, they really go through some grief. And so what we realize here is when he says in verse 6, because I have said these things unto you, what is that? The fact that they're going to need the comforter and they've got some persecution coming. That it says there that sorrow has filled your heart. Then he says in verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And they need the comforter, but they're going to go through some persecution. And our initial thought is tribulation. But we have to remember, Acts chapter 1 through 8 is a very, very difficult time. The Great Commission is not a bunch of piece, is not a piece of cake, as we would say it, for these guys at all. A lot of persecution goes on during that thing. And so we have people today trying to teach the Great Commission without the persecution. And in order to stop that persecution from coming, then they've gone the way of the people that they're trying to get to come into the church. See what I'm saying? And so we identify with the tribulation because the tribulation comes before the Lord himself comes back, which has to take place. So it looks to me like if they'd have gone into the Great Commission and Peter preached what he preached, then they would have actually gone right into the tribulation because that still had to take place. But it didn't because of the dispensation of grace and Paul's teachings and that sort of a thing when they killed Stephen, et cetera, et cetera. But let's keep in mind that what Jesus is talking about here is actually the Great Commission coming up, not the tribulation. Now, there's chapters and verses in the Gospels that do talk about the tribulation, obviously. Moon changes. He talks about that. But when we realize that I'm sending you the Comforter now, and you're going to have persecution. He's talking about the Great Commission at that point. So John chapter 16, so we see that. Now we go to verse 8, and it says, because he's going to send the Comforter, and he says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. And reprove. Now, we'll get into the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, but that word reprove, I'm still out of air. That's ridiculous. I need to do some walking or something again like I should. Reprove, 1828, we always go to that one first. Blame expressed to the face. Censure for a fault, to manifest a fault, to refute, to excite a sense of guilt. And you know that in the years that I've been here, and I've tried to get away from guilt things in some respects, because I've been taught how to do the guilt trips and all that sort of a thing, and pastors do the guilt trips all the time. But when you look at the word reprove, that is what reprove will do. It isn't because the message or whatever, the words will put you on a guilt trip, because Paul says, I'm not here to shame, I'm here to warn. But I've always said, but if we have any guilt or whatever, it'll be our fault, because we know we shouldn't be whatever it is. So, when it says that the Holy Spirit, and when he comes, the Comforter, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So, the world isn't going to like it. And we know that, which is why they go through the grief they go through. It isn't because of what those guys said, it's because of the Spirit of God that's convicting everybody's hearts, etc., etc. But now listen to a modern definition of reprove. I think this is why we tend to think the way we do. Modern definition of reprove is to speak severely to somebody about a fault. Now, do you pick up on the negative thing? It's a negative attitude towards reproof. Reproof is blame expressed to the face, censure for a fault. Yes, you need to be told. And when have you ever reproved your children? You looked them in the face and you said, don't do that. You've done that. If you haven't done that, you should hurry up and do that. But anyway, but the modern definition puts a negative flavor into it. Severe. Severe? Why does reproof have to be severe? You're just telling them to their face. You don't have to scream and yell and rant and rave. It's just that reproof. The Spirit of God, when you read your Bible, he will reprove of what? The world of sin, same thing with us, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So it doesn't have to be severe. So because they put a severe title to it, the word reprove is a bad thing. I think some of the folks are not here in these last 10 years is because they've been reproved. And we'll talk about, did it, was it me or was it the scriptures or whatever. That's what we have to deal with. Was it severe? Was it unfair? Was it pointed? Was it whatever it is? That's got nothing to do with it. We have the attitude that if somebody puts something to us firmly, they're wrong. And that's not true. Not if you're a Bible-believing Christian. We're supposed to be able to take reproof from the Spirit of God. And that's from our Bible. And we happen to have preachers that preach that. We have husbands who should do that within the home. We have fathers who should do that within the home. And the mothers in their certain places should do that with their children at home as well. And we're so afraid of it being so negative. And that's the world's belief of tolerance. They want us to tolerate everything. The whole world tolerates everybody. That's that big word, tolerance. Have you noticed that they will tolerate everything except what? A Christian. A serious. They'll even tolerate modern Christians. Because modern Christians are nothing to be afraid of. Or nothing reproving in a modern Christian at all. They don't want to... when you walk into a room and you're dressed modestly, or you're not going to talk loud and yak anymore like you used to, or whatever goes on in your life that you change, man, you become the man, all that sort of a thing, just that testimony is going to put reproof on people. It's not your fault. It's the fact that the Spirit of God is going to tell that person, hey, you're not dressed right. Hey, you shouldn't be acting like that. Hey, you shouldn't be talking like that. Hey, you shouldn't be watching that. And we'll pick up on that. And, you know, that's okay. Because this is what the Spirit of God does, the Comforter does. And what about the disciples? He comforts the disciples. And yet, the disciples are sorrowed. Why are they sorrowed? Same reason we're sorrowed when we read our Bible. We don't want to have reproof. We'll take doctrine, we'll take correction, and will we take instruction and righteousness? Sure, I want to know what it is I should be doing that I'm not doing. But to take it reproof, we can hardly do that today. And what does he say in Timothy? Will not what? Endure sound doctrine. Doesn't say they will not believe. It doesn't say cannot. It says will not endure, which means we can't take reproof. And we should be able to do that if there's Bible behind it. Amen? That's what the Bible's all about. So, we get right into this thing in John chapter 16 here. Let's keep going here. In fact, look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And people have to realize in your case, or kids have to realize that your mom and dad, if it's being done properly, it may not be the case. It may be totally wrong and just totally anger and frustration and the whole thing. But if it's done properly, a parent can reprove a child and a pastor can reprove the congregation. Why? Because it's the Bible that's doing the reproving. And just for us to keep in mind about who we are, brethren, chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, not a sin, notice, but in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Why? Consider yourself, lest thou also be tempted. So who can do the reproving? Nobody's in a position to do the reproving, but the Scriptures are. The Scriptures are. Let's bring in a sermon here. I don't want to get into that. Ephesians, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Anybody know? Reprove them. Works of darkness. What's going on in this world? It's like dark city. There's darkness, works of darkness everywhere. And we participate in them. We bring them into our home and participate in them. How serious of a Christian are we? Do we want to be following Paul? Then we should reprove works of darkness. That means in their face. How do you get in the face of a work of darkness? You don't go there. You don't do it. You don't bring it home. Ephesians 5, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. How are you going to see something in the dark if you don't have a light? What's the Bible? It's the light of the path. It lights up and you see the stuff that's there that shouldn't be going on. Colossians, in the body of his flesh through death to present you, which is us, holy and unblameable and unreprovable. When God looks at our soul, we're unreprovable. We have nothing to be reproved of with our soul. But what about our flesh? Paul fought the flesh all the time. Who are we to think we don't? Paul lost some. Who do we think that we are that we shouldn't lose some? And who are you to think that somebody else can't lose a battle in their flesh? But the reproof has to come from the Scriptures. That's what makes us different than anybody else, is we can take what the Bible says. We may not do it. We may not understand it all. We may get hurt over it. Maybe get whatever, however we want to react to that thing, but we're still looking at it as the Word of God that's telling us in a reproving fashion that that shouldn't be taking place. So as a result, we have our sorrow. Just like the disciples had their sorrow, the apostles had their sorrow, when Jesus told them face to face, hey, you're going to be going through some persecution. I'll send you the comforter. I'll give you all the comfort you need, and we've got it, but we still go through sorrow because we know what's coming. May not know it in detail, but when the news item was coming out that they're going to start chipping children in Massachusetts, then you know that this Bible is right. We should know by now that this is what's going on. So does it cause us sorrow? Well, frustration and disappointment and things like that, but the sorrow is because if we're messed up to something or whatever, just like they were. Okay, so if our soul is unreprovable, then our flesh has to have a judgment seat. And if we come to realize why we have a judgment seat of Christ, it's because our works have to be cleaned up. Every one of us in here need a judgment seat to take care of what we've done in our day-to-day affairs, and it'll be checked through the fire. That's all the judgment seat is. I don't want to make it sound less, but that's all the judgment. That's a huge thing. But our soul is okay. And there's, again, what we believe differently than everybody else out there, and it's because of the Bible. Not because of a teaching, not because of a suave, beautiful man teaching the stuff that you really like to hear. We've seen it. We have read it. We understand it. We get more and more. That really is what Paul taught, and Christ really did pay it all, and he really did take care of the law, and we don't need the accuser. We don't need the advocate, and there's no law to even accuse us. That's a marvelous thing. By the way, now that he's done so much for us, what can we do to please him in return? And we can try. That's why he gives us all this grace, is because we can try. Doesn't give us the grace so we can do what we want. He gives us the grace so we can try to please God now. And when we don't, thanks for trying, let's try it again. And that's the message that people are not getting. All they get is this reproof and this hatred, this severeness of a sermon that drives people away or whatever. We shouldn't be. We shouldn't be. Look at verse 9. So what do we got here? We have for the Spirit where it says there that he will reprove the world of sin. Verse 9, it says, of sin, because they believe not on me. 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now we go back to verse 9, and of sin. And that made me think of, what is the purpose of the law, by the way? We don't need to worry about the law. What's the purpose of the law, though? The purpose of the law in Galatians is to send people to make sure that they need to live in Christ. Because they can't do what God would have them to do. Galatians. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. So, what do we have not going on today in churches? Well, we should preach judgment. Yes, it's there. But we should also preach the goodness of God. Sure. But what is it that people are not getting today? They're not getting the fact that, you know, they're a sinner. And we've got a country that is just overpowered by a force and by an evilness that they just don't believe that they got a problem. And if they do, the government will take care of it. But we see here that same thing with our children. Do our children need to hear the goodness of God? You bet they do. Do they need to hear what Jesus did on this earth? Sure they do. Why? Because there's a law from God that says this must be obeyed, and then they need to know that they need Christ because they can't obey the law any better than you can. So our kids still need to hear the law because they need to know that they can't do it either. So they need Christ. And then if they get Christ, when they get old enough to understand all these things, then they have Christ take care of that law. What if they don't know about the law? Then Jesus is just another smoochy Savior that the whole Christian world is talking about, and they'll be happy to go to another church, another denomination, whatever, that talks a really nice story about Jesus. They don't want to get the reproof because if mom and dad can't take the reproof, the kids certainly aren't going to, and they're going to find a church where there is no reproof. And that's just about every church. They just don't reprove people anymore. They don't stay. That's off to a positive start. You know what it is? It's the blue carpet that's in here. I spent a long time this weekend working on this carpet thing. And this color lady, this carpet lady came in and told us about the colors and the modern colors, and blue is a negative color. Well, that just explained to me the problem we have here. It's not me. You're looking at the blue carpet. You're sitting on a blue pew. I'm wearing blue pants and a blue shirt. I mean, there's no way this is going to work today. You're sitting there in kind of a blue. Well, Lewis, you're not any blue at all. You're getting this stuff, too, and you're smiling. You have every bit of it here. So anyway, you understand what I'm saying here? God is showing us what's going on, even amongst us, in the Spirit of God, in this Bible. We'll talk about that next period. It's a school thing that came back to me again here, next class. Okay, so verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, what is the righteousness of God? Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. Got some verses on that for the folks who want to study that thing. Verse 11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Judged by what? Paul's gospel. What about the law? Does that enter into the fact anywhere? No, Jesus Christ judges by Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel still tells people they need to have Jesus Christ by faith and trust. It's still there. Paul's gospel will still get them. Okay. Verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Here he just gets them telling them, you're going to go off into some persecution. I'm going to send you the Comforter, which will help you through this entire whole thing that's coming up to you. And by the way, there's more things I'd like to tell you, but you can't take it. And that made me think right away, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, that's the part where it says you cannot, will not endure sound doctrine. So, believe it or not, is there a time that I don't say what I think I should say based on the sermon and the studies and all that stuff? Yeah, a number of times. And yet I wonder how many times God would have had me say that, but I was just afraid to say it. Because I fear the severity of God's words in our lives too. Or I fear the severity of how people react when they think I'm picking on them or aiming for somebody or whatever. Can we not bear them now? Listen, we have the entire Bible, Genesis to Revelation, which we'll talk about next class. We have the entire book, Old Testament, Great Commission, Gospels, Great Commission, Paul's time, future revelation. And why should we not be able to bear anything that's in that Bible? You've read it all. Amen? You've read the whole Bible. There should be nothing new comes out of that book. A sermon should be, oh, I know that verse. Yeah, I know that verse. That's a good sermon, yeah. Help me remind him about this verse that I remembered. That's what it's all about. So, we shouldn't be that case. We should not be afraid of what that Bible says to us. I think look at 2 Timothy 4:10 just to get you moving here a little bit. Get some of the blue out of your eyes. If you have a blue-covered Bible, you need to get a black one because the blue is a negative. 2 Timothy 4:10, just a quick little thought here. This guy named Demas. Here's somebody that's left Paul, forsaken Paul. He left him. Why? For this present world. 2 Timothy 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. He left. He left them. Why? He'd rather have the world that's out there right now. So what do we have? We have Paul showing us again. Grace, truth, mercy, long-suffering, patience, prayer, tears, avoid, and he's gone. Verse 13. So you don't want to be a Demas Christian. We've preached about that. Verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Now, this is kind of an introduction to the sermon this morning, which is okay. We'll probably have a few minutes here to have your coffee and things. Read it again. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, here's a huge issue we have with people. They say that they're being guided into all truth. They believe that. They believe God told them this. They believe the Lord would have them do this. They believe that God would have them move here, have them buy this, go here, talk like this, tell somebody this. God would have me go talk to this person. God would not have me. How do you know this? Where are we getting this from today? Because it says right here, John chapter 16, verse 13, hey, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, one issue we have here, it says, for he shall not speak of himself. Well, the Pentecostals I know in the earlier years, all they ever talked about was the Spirit of God, Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And when I read that, that told me, well, we got a problem there because they're not talking about Jesus. So, okay, that takes care of that issue. See what I'm saying? I mean, it's just, the Spirit of God is supposed to uplift Jesus Christ. That's what it's supposed to be, not itself. Then it says there, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Well, who's telling the Holy Spirit what to say? Well, obviously the Lord would be. And then he will show you things to come. Okay, so he's going to do that to these disciples. Can we claim this for ourselves? Well, how do we know when we hear from the Spirit of truth? And near as I can come up with, three possible sources of our guidance. We'll talk about it again this morning in the next period here, but look at Titus chapter 1, verse 3. I'll give you kind of an introduction. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. So, what I'm recognizing, as I believe I'm seeing as a pastor or whatever, talking to all these people and preachers and pastors, it seems to me that preaching is more important than their Bible. That's what we've come to. We've come to where preaching is more important than the Bible. Does that make sense today? How many people have read your Bible this week? All you're living on is preaching. If even that, and I'll be negative because I'm with so much blue here. The brown kind of calms me down a little bit, but how much Bible have you read from last sermon to this sermon? Then if you haven't read much Bible, then you're depending on the preaching or the teaching. Is that the way it's supposed to be? Are you getting your guidance, what's right and what's wrong, based on preaching? A lot of people, I believe most people are. I'm not talking about the modern church because they don't even preach there. They just have their music and have a good time, and I'll get to that here in a second. But the preaching crowd, they really believe that their direction comes from the preaching. Is that right? It says right there, God manifested his word through preaching. How would that be? Did they have a Bible? Remember the whole story? They didn't have a Bible yet. So God would manifest his word through Paul, and Paul would tell them. So yeah, it was manifest through preaching. Is that the way it is today? Can you get guidance from preaching? Sure you can. If the preaching is what? The Bible. Well, of course you can. And don't get me wrong, sir, I'm not knocking preaching at all. I don't claim to be a preacher. I just claim to be a teacher that gets loud sometimes or gets frustrated or gets picky or personal or whatever, but I want people to get this Bible. So I'm trying to teach this Bible in a preachy fashion, and I try to preach by teaching, and I try to teach preaching. So that's what it says, pastors and teachers. But I'm not your guidance. So I'm not knocking preaching. But what I'm seeing is people are just following, they're living their Christian lives based on preaching. And they can show it scripturally. Well, they didn't have a Bible. Does that make sense? Because what do we have today? We've got a Bible. We'll get to that next period. What about our heart? People, you've heard people say to them, well, God just told me. I just know in my heart that da-da-da-da. I'm not knocking the heart. I'm not going to knock what God can do in our heart because we're reading our Bible. So yes, he still can work on our hearts in that fashion. But what if we throw the Bible out? Is God going to guide us into all truth through our heart? And so I got to do to ask somebody is ask them, if you didn't have a Bible, when somebody says, "Well, God just if you didn't have a Bible, would God guide you into all truth?" Well, there's a couple of ways to go. That hey, what's truth? Well, the Spirit of God guided us into this King James Bible. I can accept that. Now that we have the King James Bible, there it is. And when you talk to somebody and you try to show them a Bible, try to give them a Bible or whatever, our person down south, remember the one I'm telling you about that has a little bitty, I'm going a little bit at a time, wants a King James Bible. They recognize that there's some things missing now, okay? One degree at a time. And I'll send her a Bible this week with some facts. And what is that? That's the Spirit of God leading her to truth. So is the Spirit of God working in her heart like that? Or is the Spirit of God working in our hearts to perk an interest, to perk a conviction, because the Holy Spirit's going to guide her into truth by guiding us to give her that Bible? See what I'm saying? Because if the Holy Spirit can guide her to this King James Bible, why would He not guide her to all the other elements of Christian life? So she still really wouldn't need that Bible. So my point here is, where do we find this guide that will guide us into all truth? And he says it's a comforter. Well, sure, it's a comforter. Where do we get that guide from a King James? What is the guide? It's a King James Bible. It can't be preaching. Preaching from the King James Bible will give us guidance, but without that Bible, you've got somebody preaching without any scriptural Spirit of God support. If it's going to be through their heart, don't need a Bible, then your heart is wicked and deceitful. How do you know you're following what God would have you do? Because when we hear people talk about being led by their heart, look at what they're being led by. And look where they're being led to. Well, that's just your opinion. No, you can get concerned when you check it out with the Bible that they're being led down this false path. So my point this morning is, and it will be in the sermon this morning and the sermon tonight, that we have put even preaching above our Bible. 1 Corinthians 13:10, let's go there. We have to go there. In fact, let's go to verse 8. Let's pull up the whole series of verses again, which I'll do again this morning in the sermon. But 1 Corinthians 13:8, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. So they were taught in part. There was a time where preaching was where God showed people was through the preacher, which we'll talk about this morning. I'm way ahead in this whole thing, you can tell. And that's okay in its day. But if 1 Corinthians 13:10 is still waiting on the physical arrival of Jesus Christ, then there is still preaching without a Bible. We still don't need a Bible today. Well, Dad, I don't know anybody in my little circle of friends that reads their Bible. Their family doesn't, they don't read their Bible, they don't believe in the Bible, but God sure shows them a lot of things. Does He? According to this, that's not God showing them anything. It'd be the devil. Tricking people to think that their heart is going to lead them down to all truth, or even the preaching. And a pastor, I don't think some of these pastors mean anything by it, but they've taken their Bible away from their people just by their preaching. Even if it's good preaching. Even if it's correct preaching. If the men in the church or the people in the church decide that they just don't have time to do anything, then they're letting preaching guide them. And God's Word is not manifested through preaching, it's manifested through that King James Bible of which the preaching comes out of. Does that make sense? How is it that people can get so mixed up with things? They're following preaching. What is the one thing I try so hard to do when I preach a sermon? Show you the scriptures. And scriptures. And scriptures. Back when my sermons were still kind of long, but they were full of... I remember one time I counted 75 scriptures in one of those sermons one time. Some have been a lot more, some have been a lot less. I can't take one verse and then preach for an hour about that verse. I suppose a guy could, but it's just opinion. It's just preaching. And Jim White, the former evangelist kind of a guy, said one day that somebody asked him, are you preaching or are you telling me the truth? And it should be both. So, my point here this morning is what he's talking about here, that when he will guide you into all truth, in the gospel days and in Paul's day, they were guided into all truth by preaching. Titus talks about that in Titus. And some other verses I'll show you here in a couple of minutes. And we've got people today, the Bible crowd will go by preaching. But they're not reading their Bible. You've got people that will go by their heart, the modern crowd. You've got few people that will go by a rightly divided King James Bible anymore because we're just too busy. Or we don't understand it. Or we don't like what we read. Or I'll find a preacher that will teach me the King James Bible rightly divided, but he'll do it a lot nicer than you will because... the reproof thing. Reproof is a very bad way to preach. That's the word severe. You're being very severe. Too hard on people. Too hard on us. No. This is exactly what the Spirit of God wants to do to us, because He knows we need to be told. And you ought to be able to go home and read your Bible, understand it now, and take a good hit. Shouldn't have to come from me at all, or anybody else that comes in. You see, you've read your Bible. And even tonight, or even next Sunday morning, you should read the rest of John chapter 16, and you've already got a pretty good clue what's coming. Just because, you know, kind of a deal. Not knocking preaching. I'm not knocking our heart, although we have to know when it's from God or when it's from the devil. But where are we going to read about Paul's manner of life? Is God going to give that to you in your heart? Well, a preacher will tell me. Well, what does a preacher know? Remember all these pastors that say that you have to check with me before you do anything? The landmark kind of crowd? Well, you know, Pastor, I've heard you're kind of like that. No, I'm not like that. I'm kind of sure what the Bible says about what you're asking. That's all. And if you don't believe it, that's fine. If you see somebody give you a bad example that you can justify you not doing it too, go ahead. But just so you know that the reason some people aren't here in the last 10 years is because they went against the Scriptures, not against me. Listen, some of you folks are still here and you don't like what I preach, but you know it's Bible. That's how you grow. Maybe you're past that stage already. Lastly, verse 14, we'll get more of that Bible stuff coming. I think it's a fascinating thing. I'm excited about it. I'm not being grumpy. I'm not letting the carpet affect me this morning. I'm fascinated by realizing, again, what's happening in our churches, and we have put preaching over the Bible. And our crowd. I'm recognizing that with some of the people I talk with. Okay, and lastly, we've got to finish this up here. Verse 14. He shall glorify me. That's the comforter again. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So whatever Christ has, whatever Jesus is going to, he's getting it from his Father, and he's going to tell that on to us. Whatever he has, he's going to pass that on to us. Now, question. Is it the Jesus teachings and sayings and the things that we want, or is it the risen Jesus that we want? So I got to ask somebody, do you want the risen Christ, or do you want the earthly Jesus? Now, what do you mean by that? Now, just think about it there, Frank. I always use Frank. There's Frank's there, I don't think. Jesus walked the earth. I understand that. Died on the cross. Taught his disciples all these things. Taught the Jews. That's a hard thing for people to get. Maybe not want to say that yet, but he died and rose again. And he came down to Paul as a risen Savior. Here's his teachings that we're trying to learn. That's all it is. So when Jesus says here, this comfort of this Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, shall receive of mine, going to show it to us. Where does he show it to us at? In the Bible. Not just through preaching. The preaching will emphasize and bring up the Bible. Then what it is that Jesus Christ is going to show the Spirit of God to teach the Gentiles is going to be the risen Christ things. And I know we understand that, but do we understand it enough to still simplify it for somebody as bottom line as you can? And that's the simple fact that we're going to follow Paul as he follows the risen Christ. And the Spirit of God is going to teach us things in this Bible that the risen Christ wants us to get. He wants us to get the whole Bible. That's all there for us. So don't let anybody think that we're like the Breams and say, we're just going to do Paul's book only. No, we do the whole Bible. But we're going to realize that what's written to us, and that's what we're going to try to learn from. In fact, we even write in the Divine Paul, which we'll talk about this morning. So, we realize that Christ wants us to learn His risen teachings. Pentecostals glorify the Spirit, or the Jesus of the Gospels. A little more of that today. American Christians glorify themselves. Let's look at modern Christianity. Their music is all for themselves. They talk about this magic Jesus, just like this magic Obama, who will make nobody has to buy gas or mortgage payments anymore, and he'll just buy everything for you. That's how they look at Jesus. He'll just give me everything into the abundant life, and I'll just praise and worship him, and da-da-da-da. And matter of fact, look it. Here he comes! And they'll just be waiting for him. Boy, I wish Louie was here to see this. He just kind of disappeared a little while ago. And Dave, the church was just empty. Just a couple folks still there. My carpet was bluer than I've ever seen it. No, as that Bible tells us about the risen Christ, what he did on the earth as in Jesus, and what he did, what he's doing as a risen Christ, and then what we can do for him in return. So that's as far as we'll go with John 16 this morning, and we'll do more this morning just on the Bible. I want you to get what's going on, and this Bible is showing us stuff. I shouldn't even use the word stuff. It's showing us truth. It's guiding us into all truth. It's the Bible that's doing it, not me or you. Let's take a break for a couple minutes.